The Lady Vols have a new basketball coach. She promises to bring an exciting style of play to Tennessee. Tennessee hired Kim Caldwell after she took Marshall to the NCAA tournament in her first and only season as a Division I coach. Caldwell was introduced at a press conference Tuesday. Her opening remarks seem to have excited Lady Vols fans. We'll discuss what her challenge looks like at Tennessee and what we think of the hire. Welcome into the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer alongside the Knoxville News Sentinel's Cora Hall and John Adams. As we heard from Kim Caldwell yesterday, her opening remarks, just gauging the reaction from the fan base, seems like it went over really, really well. And we all know that winning the introductory press conference is kind of an overrated thing, but in so much as it matters, she came off really well on Tuesday. So you guys were in the room. What were some of your takeaways from hearing from her, you know, publicly for the first time as Tennessee's coach?
Well, I was impressed with her confidence. She also came across as humble, and that's what I wrote, that she's grateful to have this job. She's grateful for all the people, the players, the people who hired her previously, for everybody that's led her to this point in her career. But I think it's also there's also a confidence about her. And when I asked her if she thought she would need to modify her system, which is kind of extreme, a full court pressure, mass substitutions, shoot the threes, totally up-tempo style, which I think could be very entertaining. She said, I wouldn't have taken the job if I didn't think it would work here. So that's what she needed to say at a press conference. Now, when she sees a roster, she may temper that somewhat. But, yeah, I just liked her confidence. It doesn't appear as though the job's too big for her. I think she's very confident in what she can do. And she seems to have she's not going in here starry-eyed. I think she understands what this job is like, and she said that this is the kind of job she wanted. She wanted a job with high expectations, with high interest. So you got to have a lot of confidence. I didn't think she was cocky, but if she had been cocky, I wouldn't have minded that at all either. I think it's kind of you kind of need that when you're taking on this kind of job.
Yeah, I would agree with what John said. I was impressed by just she didn't really flinch or like back down from any of the tougher questions. Like I know my question was second, and I asked her why she felt like she was ready to take on the expectations of a program like this, and she immediately said she doesn't want to be anywhere where there aren't those expectations, and I thought she had a great answer. So I appreciated that she didn't have any like hint of fear of the big questions. She really seemed like she genuinely wanted something like this. And I think that's half the battle with this job, is like genuinely wanting the pressure and the expectations of this role, because I think that will always deter some people from wanting to be the Lady Vols head coach. Following Pat Summitt's legacy is not easy. And there's not that many people who want it in that way. Like I think a lot of people would accept it, but I think fewer people want it in the way that she expressed that she wants this. So yeah, I think she did great. I think she left a really good impression. And I appreciated too her response to John, because I think you do have to, you know, be confident in what got you here and be confident about who you are and what you can do. And you can't back down from that at all in your first press conference. So I appreciated that.
Yeah. And confidence is one thing. Being able to do it, especially in year one, is another. And Cora, you know, this roster well. Obviously this is a transition period. We don't know maybe exactly who is or isn't coming back with the portal open. You know, players can come in, come out of your program, especially when you have a new coach. But as you kind of get a read on the roster and the direction of this program, how feasible do you think it is going to be for Kim Caldwell to implement her style of play the way she wants to play, you know, here in year one at Tennessee? Because, again, it sounds good at a press conference. She struck the right notes in saying, I wouldn't be coming to Tennessee if I didn't think I could win with my style. But what's that actually look like, do you think? How feasible do you think that will be for her in year one?
Yeah, I think she has a good track record of getting full buy-in from her rosters. But I think when you get to the Power Five level, I think there are like distinct limitations with your roster. And I think there are like a handful of players who could run that system right now, but I don't think the entire roster can. So, but she already mentioned in her press conference that they needed to hit the portal and make additions. So she's not disillusioned to the fact that she could run everything she wanted exactly how she wanted with this exact roster right now. Like, they plan on making transfer portal additions and she plans on hiring a great staff. But something that does stick out to me about her is that when she won the national championship in 2022, she took the team back to the Final Four the next year. And there was not a lot of carryover from that national championship team. There's maybe three or four players from that championship team who played on the next year's Final Four team. And she got that full buy-in and ran that system with almost an entirely new roster, got back to the Final Four. She gets to Marshall. They have almost majority of the same roster from the season before she took over when they went 17-14 and got full buy-in from that same roster, turned that team around into a 26-7 team with a lot of the same roster. So she's done it in two completely different situations where she got that full buy-in, did things the way she wanted to, and found really great success. And obviously, yes, those were at different levels. And I do think that there is more emphasis on getting that talent on your roster at the Power Five level. But I do think that based on her track record, she can do it. And I think she understands like what she needs in order to make that happen here.
John, I wrote in a column after the hire that the hire of Kim Caldwell tells me one of three things. And I'm curious your thoughts on this. The three options I see is either one, the candidate pool wasn't as strong as I expected. Kim Caldwell has been accomplished everywhere she's been, but it is true that she only has 1 year of Division I experience and just a couple years ago was coaching Division II, coaching at a high level at Division II, but she was in Division II. So one, either the candidate pool wasn't as strong as I expected. Two, Tennessee wanted to hire cheap, which would fit their hiring reputation in the past, but does seem to go against the way the athletic department is now. Or three, Danny White trusts his instincts above all else. I think it's actually number three. I think it's probably a little bit of one, that maybe the candidate pool wasn't quite as strong as I would have expected. But I think more than anything, it's that Danny White trusts himself and his instincts and the interviews that he does when making hires. And he's got a pretty good track record of making hires. And I think that's maybe more than anything what led to this. But I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Yes. First of all, the idea of going cheap, and I've had a number of emails from fans who think that's what happened. And if we had a previous administration in place here, I would agree with them, because that was pretty much Tennessee. You go back and look at the hires in all sports. I mean, Rick Barnes fell into Tennessee's lap. That was an unusual situation, but usually Tennessee did try to go cheap, not just in basketball, but in football as well. But I don't believe that happened at all. I think Danny White could have spent more money. I go with your third point and agree with you. I think Danny White trusts his judgment. I don't think he trusted it to the extent where I can sit down in an interview with somebody, stare deeply into their soul and know if they're a winner or a loser. I don't believe that. But I think he did his homework on this. And I think he's also maybe looking a bit at the bigger picture. Go back to a football coaching hire Tennessee made when it hired Jeremy Pruitt. You're trying to keep up with Alabama and Georgia. You're chasing those programs. So you're getting a coach who coached at both places, who believed in kind of the same virtues that they did at the time. It's changed somewhat now, but power running game, defense, that sort of thing. So how are you going to beat those teams at their own game? How are you going to beat great coaches at their own game? If you're going to try to win a championship, not just win 20 games and make the NCAA tournament, if you're going to try and win a championship, how are you going to beat out South Carolina and Dawn Staley? She just won her third championship, and she pretty much picks and chooses what players she wants. Kim Mulkey's won four national championships. The same thing with her. You're not going to beat them with conventional approaches, I don't believe. So he's trying something different here. And there's a lot of cases in sports where that's worked out. So I think he firmly believed in this hire. I think he said one thing that was, I thought, significant. He said he interviewed other coaches who played similar systems. So he's attracted to her up-tempo, full-court system, play a lot of people. But she's not the only one that he considered about this. It was the combination of what she brought to the table with her system and combined that with her interview, and he sold her on the idea that she could make this work at the very highest level. So, yeah, I think what was your first point again? I fixated on the second, too.
Either that the candidate pool wasn't as strong as I expected, Tennessee wanted to hire cheap, or that Danny White trusts his hiring instincts above all else. I think it's a little bit of one and a lot of three, and two is just sort of a coincidence in this case.
Yeah, I would go along with that. And I think, Cora knows the women's game really well, and she knows the players in it, and she knows the good coaches. But I don't think the average fan, and even the Lady Vols fan, I don't think they know necessarily. They have that wide scope where they can say, oh, yeah, that coach at UCLA, she's done a great job. Or the coach at Louisville, he's a winner, or to coach at Maryland, all these different places. I think the average fan knows about Mulkey, Staley, and Gina Auriemma, of course, who have combined to win 18 national championships. But beyond that, when you're making a hire and you're firing a coach who was popular with a segment of the fan base, not all, but with some, because if she played with Tennessee, she won national titles as a player. So you're trying to make a hire that would kind of trigger a strong reaction from the fan base. And I don't think he could get a big name coach that could do that. And I don't know whom he asked, but I just don't think he could get the big three. Or even if you drop down a notch and you looked at Vic Schaefer at Texas, he's a Texas native. Mm-hmm. Why would he come here? Brenda Freeze. She's been at Maryland a long time, won a national title, had a really nice run. I couldn't see her leaving. So I think he considered all these factors, and I think he really did want to make a splash hire, but I don't know how you make a splash hire unless you can get the big three.
Cora, your thoughts on this?
Yes, I have several thoughts on all three points. So I think to the first point, I think the candidate pool was smaller from Tennessee's end in a way, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who want this job. But if you can't get a Lindsey Gottlieb, a Neil Ivey, like the top of the top who are kind of, you know, still a little bit younger in their careers, if you can't get them, then you almost kind of write off the Power Five coaches who are wanting this job, because Danny said in his opening statement that sometimes the enemy of great is just good. And I don't think you could settle for someone who has been good, like just good their career, because that's not going to necessarily get you a national championship. Like, they weren't taking that risk of, we know your track record as a Power Five coach and you haven't made it to a Final Four. That's not going to cut it for this hire. So I think the candidate pool gets smaller when you can't get the top of the top names. So then I think you go to the, who's the up and comer who we really believe in, who has, like Danny said, an enormous upside and trajectory. So I think that's kind of, I do think there are probably a lot of people who want this job, but I think the candidate pool from Tennessee's end, there had to only be a few names in the Power Five that fit the bill of what they wanted. And if you can't get that, then you go with the up and comer who has that upside and trajectory. I don't think they went cheap because the clause in her contract where if she wins a national championship, she automatically becomes the highest paid coach in women's basketball. Like, they clearly have the investment they want to put in this program. Danny mentioned yesterday, he didn't know if they were going to spend millions of dollars or, you know, how much they were going to spend on this coach going into it, but they wanted that clause in there because they were serious about winning championships, getting back to the top. So I don't think the investment in this position was a problem at all. And then three, I do think Danny trusts his instincts. And he said that her presser yesterday was similar to the impression he had from the interview with how compelling she was and how she stood out. And you're not going to find the next great women's basketball coach at a Power Five, you know, who's been there for 15 years and has never made a Final Four, and you know their track record and their ceiling. So I think on that point, I agree with Danny in finding somebody who is young, who is a winner, and you're just taking the bet that that winning translates to this level. And, you know, when I asked him if, you know, her being able to translate that success from Division II to Division I immediately mattered and, you know, stood out to him, he said, yeah. And if we hadn't hired her now, someone else was going to. So she also mentioned she had had a lot of opportunities to look at other jobs and she had it in the past. So I'm sure that if they hadn't hired her, she might have taken another job after this year, and then she's climbing the ranks and you might not have a shot with her later. So I think he trusted his instincts, and, you know, it's a high risk, high reward situation.
Yeah, you make a great point, Cora. If you can't get one of the top five or six coaches in the sport, I mean, there's two lines of thought on that. Do you go with the more proven veteran who maybe has been rattling off a lot of Sweet 16s and think, oh, hey, if we get him to Tennessee, you know, that would springboard that proven coach to a higher level? Or to your point, do you say if we can't get one of the top five or six coaches in the sport, do we roll the dice with an up-and-coming coach like Kim Caldwell? And I think you're right. That sort of speaks to Danny's hiring strategy here. I'm wondering, though, for you all, what would be your level of concern with hiring a coach like this with 1 year Division I experience? She graduated college in 2011, so she's a young coach, mid-30s. And you look at the sport, there's still an old guard dominating this sport. You know, I looked at the Final Four this year. The average age of a coach in the Final Four this year was 63 years old in the women's Final Four. Dawn Staley is like still the new kid on the block when it comes to women's basketball, and she's not a new kid on the block anymore. So it is an old guard dominating women's basketball. Now, in the men's game, we have seen it can really pay off to take a risk in trying to hire the up-and-coming coach. The most famous example, probably in the SEC, is Florida hiring Billy Donovan from, interestingly, Marshall. He'd been there for just two seasons. Florida hires him, wins back-to-back national championships, and he's been the best SEC men's basketball hire in the last 30 years. He's sort of the gold standard for taking a risk on a mid-major coach. We've seen it in other cases as well, bringing it closer to home at Tennessee. Bruce Pearl would come to mind of taking a gamble on a mid-major coach and on the court, it paying off. Haven't seen that as much, I don't think, in the women's game, but maybe, you know, a trend could start. So I'm wondering your thoughts on just Kim Caldwell coming into this job at a young age when the old guard is dominating the sport, and whether what we see in men's basketball maybe is translatable to women's game of you know, a coach from a mid-major being able to spring up to the big time and get her breakthrough?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and probably not one where there's a surefire answer. I think there's more parity in women's basketball now than there was 10 years ago or 20 years ago, because I've been following it a long time, but still, it's not the same parity as in the men's program. And still, it's like the best top programs are still kind of the best programs. Now, you would take Kim Mulkey at Baylor and just move her over to LSU and just say it's the Kim Mulkey program. Now, Dawn Staley But it's been a while when she was the new up-and-coming coach. That's been quite a while ago. And now she has a power base in South Carolina. Geno has maintained his dynasty. I say a dynasty. He hadn't won a national title in a while, but he's still up there, and he got this team to the Final Four. Nobody really thought he would. But so 30 years. So those three, they haven't slipped any. So it's like it's hard to crack this. And I think what it takes more than a really good coach. I think it takes a program or a school where the people really want to be, have a championship program. And that's where Danny White has to win his battle. And I asked him about NIL input, and he gave a general answer about, well, Tennessee sports get plenty of support. And they do, but you're going to need elite support here. If Pat Summitt were the coach now, I'm not sure anybody could beat her, because I think she would have such an impact in NIL circles. I mean, she got paid $25,000 to speak to corporations. These same corporate, the CEOs all over the country. Oh, I got a call from Pat Summitt. She wants to make a deal with one of her players. I just think this would have brought out the very best in her. Even as good as her career was already, it played to her strengths. Now, what Danny White needs to do is get people to invest in this program. And it's helpful, I think, to the program that Danny White made this hire. He made the football coaching hire, so he gets credit for that. Didn't make the baseball hire, didn't make the men's basketball hire. So this gives Danny White another chance. We all know football dominates in the SEC still. So that's the most important hire. If you want to get a national champion coach in football, you're pretty much made for life at that school. If the others don't do well, okay, but he hired this guy. Mal Moore at Alabama hired Nick Saban. Nobody else cared whom he hired. But I think Danny wants to bolster his resume. He wants to look good. And so I think he's really going to be behind this hire and encourage others to be behind this hire and give her the NIL support she needs to enhance her roster.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is the timing. You already had Dawn Staley, Kim Mulkey in this conference that you directly have to compete against in conference play for recruits. And I don't know if Dawn Staley really fully got the credit for how great of a coach she is until this season, which is crazy to say, but she is an incredible coach. And she is incredibly hard to beat, and she's only going to get harder to beat. So you have them. Now you have Kenny Brooks. Now you're going to have Vic Schaefer. Now you're going to have Jenny Bronchick, who is an up-and-comer and a good recruiter, great coach. So now you have this handful of coaches that, A, you have to go up against in conference play. You have to beat them. And, B, you have to go up against them for kids, for recruits, because the SEC has a very specific style of play, type of player. Everybody's going to kind of be going after a lot of the same kids. So those are two massive challenges against five really great head coaches now. Whereas last year, there was a little less competition in the SEC among, you know, when you're talking about coaches you're competing against. So I think that's a thing. I mean, you also have Coach Yoa Ole Miss, who is, you know, steadily on the rise with that program. So the SEC is definitely getting harder to compete in next year. But I do think with women's basketball, and I don't follow the men's game as closely, so this might be similar there too, but I think it's kind of what John said about it's the complete program. It is who you hire as assistants. How much are you willing to invest in the assistant coaches that you bring on? It is the NIL support. How much can you throw behind that to get these elite recruits in the door? But I think the staff is really key here, because relationships matter a lot with these recruits, like a lot. So the staff that you bring on is so important. You have to bring on one of the best recruiters in the country for this job, and you have to, you know, fill that staff with all high level assistants. Like, every single spot in that staff has to be filled with somebody who is just as good as you at what you were doing, especially with the fact that she has not coached in Power Five before. So I think watching how she rounds out her staff will be really interesting, because I think that will tell us the investment from this department in this program and how quickly they're going to find success. Because if you look at Dawn Staley's bench, you look down the bench, she has incredible assistants at every single position. So I think that's going to be massive.
Yeah, that's a good point. And sometimes we see coaches, you know, just want to bring their full staff from the previous stop. And, you know, I know you've reported on this, Cora, what her coaching staff could look like. And in reading your reporting, seems like maybe we should expect at least one familiar face from a past coaching staff's, right? But that the other two spots could be someone not from her past staffs. Is that a correct interpretation of your story on her coaching staff that you have over at KnoxNews.com?
Yes, there was a report that Jenna Burdett will be joining her staff. She was her associate head coach at Marshall. She coached with her at Glenville. And I would be okay with that, honestly, because I do think that you need to have someone you trust 100% with, like, a deep level of relationship that you've had for a long time. So I would be fine with that. And then I think every other position, you gotta really nail it. But to your point, there also, the rule change with basketball staffs last year allowed for two extra positions. So I'm curious too to see how many assistants they will let her hire, because Kelly had three. You could have had four, I believe. Well, no, Kelly had John, Sam, Joy, Liza. So she had four. I believe you could have up to five, because I believe that's what Staley did. So she could hire a few more. And I think you have to get that full staff, to me. Like, I think you should go all the way and fill the maximum amount of positions.
I want to wrap up with our grades of the hire, but before we go there, I'm wondering what you guys think success looks like in year one for Kim Caldwell, because at a lot of programs, you sort of, even in the SEC, you maybe can enjoy a bit of a year one honeymoon period, as it's called, oftentimes. But, you know, this is a different program, and despite the fact that Tennessee hasn't been to a Final Four in more than a decade, it's still a program with the highest of standards. I mean, you can just look at that. They fired a coach who won 20 games this year and reached the second round of the NCAA tournament, and the two previous years had gone to Sweet 16. So that, I think, speaks to the standards of the program, as well as maybe where they thought the momentum was going with Kelly Harper. But, you know, Kim Caldwell didn't shy away from expectations in her press conference, nor really can you in a press conference, right? You have to embrace them, the expectations, at least at the press conference. But before we get to our coaching grades, I want to hear from you all. What do you think about, what does success look like in year one for her?
Well, Tennessee's never failed to make the NCAA tournament. So if she doesn't make the NCAA tournament, it won't be a success. If she just makes the tournament, I think coming in with a completely different system, probably remaking, I think she has to remake her roster, that if she made the NCAA tournament in her first year, I think that would constitute success. I don't see how you could expect much more than that, because if Kelly had remained, she's losing Rekia Jackson, mm-hmm. the unquestionable star and driving force on this team. I just think, if Kelly had returned, I think it would have been hard. Tennessee would have been hard pressed to make the NCAA tournament. It wouldn't have been as good of a team as it had this year, I don't think. So I think if she can just make the NCAA tournament, in my mind, that would be a successful season.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Danny talked about how the players on the team he talked about winning next year. You know, they don't want to be on a 3 or 4 or 5 year plan. They want to win immediately. So I think expectations can, I think, officially be set after we see what the roster looks like with the portal and what they do in the portal. I think you have to compete in the SEC to the point where you are, I don't know, top four. I think top four would be a great success for her in the first season with Texas and Oklahoma joining. I think minimum you got to be top five or six. Otherwise, A, you probably won't make the tournament. And B, that's tough to fall from finishing top three almost every year under Kelly, except for the last year, to being, you know, seventh or eighth in the conference. So I think if they finish top four, that'd be pretty successful. And making the tournament is a must.
Yeah, I agree with the tournament. You can't, even with year one, I mean, this, again, this program is, it positions itself to be different. It acts like it's different. And in many ways, it is different. Maybe it hasn't been punching at that level the last several years, but it has still been, you know, even in the down times, it's still been making the NCAA tournament and usually makes at least the second round of the NCAA tournament. So high expectations in year one for sure for Kim Caldwell. So, all right, let's wrap up with grades. I'll start, then we'll go to John and Cora. We'll give you the final grade, the final word on this hire. So I'm going to go with a C on this hire, and here's why. I sort of see the, and I kind of laid this out in my column earlier this week at KnoxNews.com on the, sort of the pros and cons I see of this hire. But, you know, on the one hand, you've got a young, exciting coach that I think could bring new energy, new passion into the program. I like that her success comes at places that you know, aren't the easiest to win at. She took Marshall to the NCAA tournament for just the second time in program history. As I wrote in my column, Glenville State is not exactly the UConn of Division II women's basketball. I mean, I went to a Division II school. I covered Division II women's basketball for a few years. And yeah, I mean, Glenville State's had some good seasons, but as far as winning the whole thing, that was pretty notable for Kim Caldwell to do there. So I like that she's had success multiple places, at places where winning doesn't always you know, come easiest. On the other hand, though, I keep coming back to Kentucky, a program that's never been to a Final Four in women's basketball, hired Kenny Brooks from Virginia Tech, who was at a Final Four just last year. And I do wonder, you know, did Tennessee seriously consider any men's candidates in this coaching search? Because, you know, Cora spoke earlier about, well, do you really want that Power Five coach who, you know, is a veteran, but has maybe peaked in the Sweet 16 and has no evidence that they've gone to a Final Four? Well, I mean, Louisville's Jeff Walls has gone to national championship games. Oregon State's Scott Rook, I mean, he's been to multiple Elite Eights. He's been to a Final Four, and now his program is being left behind in conference realignment. Would they have listened to a call from Tennessee? Don't know. Did Tennessee feel like they could hire, you know, a man for a job that's never been held there and the program that Pat Summitt built? I think that could be a tough sell to Lady Vols fans, but I do think this is a roll of the dice, and that's Danny White's style. He's had really good success with that in the past, hiring Nate Oates at Buffalo, hiring Lance Leipold in football at Buffalo. Has made a lot of good hires over his career by sort of trying to get one step ahead of everybody and hiring coaches before they hit the big time. This is just a program that I thought maybe deserved a safer bet, a proven coach who's won at the highest of levels, and I wonder if they could have got that. So, yeah, sort of in between. I see the upside. I think it could be a you know, a big hit, and you're getting out in front of everybody on Kim Caldwell. I just think I would have felt more comfortable, you know, if they could have got someone like a Kenny Brooks, who is more experienced and has a Final Four on the resume, but still looks at Tennessee as a step up over their current situation. So I'm at a C. John, let's go to you.
Well, I would give the hire a B, and that requires quite a leap of faith. She's won at lower levels, and I've seen a number of coaches who won at lower levels who just keep winning. Blake, you mentioned your experience with Division II basketball, and I don't know how the resources compared with her program and other programs in Division II, but I'm just assuming they were somewhat comparable. So if the competition is comparable and you're winning at a high level, that tells me you're pretty good. Now, and I'm thinking, okay, well, so maybe if it's comparable, if you have the resources at a higher level of play, you can do the same. And I guess I'm kind of like, Danny White. When I went to the press conference, I went there with an open mind. I didn't have any preconceived notion about who she was or what she could do. And I was really impressed with her. And I know winning the press conference is meaningless, but there were some things that her approach to it and what she said told me she's pretty sharp and she has a good understanding of where she is and what's required. And I think she's going in here very aware of what needs to be done, what's expected. And so that impressed me. And so maybe I was as swayed by that as Danny White was in his interview. So I'll give her a B, and I can certainly see why you might give her a C.
Cora?
I am going to roll with a B here too. I think if they would have gotten somebody like a Lindsey Gottlieb, Neil Ivey, that type of really, really high success coach, then I would have gone with an A. But I think going with the up-and-comer after that is a good choice to me. I think I agree with the decision to not settle for someone who's just been good. And so I'd give that a B because I do think she has an enormous upside. I think there's an undefined ceiling with her, and I think that's better than any of the other options, to be quite honest. Because I remember when I was doing my hot boards, I was just thinking of, God, I don't even know if this is a big swing. Like, I guess it is, but I don't know if it's big enough. And so if you can't get the swing that feels big enough, then why not go a different direction? So I think I'm going to give this one a B.
All right, two Bs and a C, and with plenty of upside for the future. You can find John's commentary, my commentary, over at knoxnews.com. You can find all of Cora's reporting. Nobody has done as much reporting on this search as she has. And once again, you can find that over at knoxnews.com. Kim Caldwell, the new head coach of the Lady Vols. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.